The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning! This is The Morning Shift. I am he, and he is I.
I told you. I can deal with the good morning.
He is a whiny All-American, national champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Don't ask him what the P and Michael P. Johnson stands for.
Man.
This morning is not what I expected it to be. I did not expect to be in here and know that we're about to talk about a victory, an upset, crazy victory from our Hawks.
Yeah. What do they call it? The NBA Cup? Future NBA Cup champs.
Yeah, whatever, man.
Everything else that comes
NBA
along
Cup.
With it. What did you think of the floor design last night for the Celtics? Wait. Hang on. I'm sorry. Not to cut you off. Before we go any further, I can't go any further without asking about the critter that was in your attic. It was the attic, right? Or just the crawl space?
No, it's the attic.
Dude.
I'm a basement. I don't know if I really have a crawl space, so to speak.
Okay. All right. There you go.
Right?
I didn't ask you this morning on purpose. I wanted to ask you on air so that we get an update for everybody. I got to know what's the deal with the critter, because you left us in a slight cliffhanger yesterday, had somebody to come look at it. Was it a rat?
So Mr. Horner showed up literally as I
Did you go into the attic with him?
No, I'd already been up there. I didn't need to go
there. So you
didn't
follow back to, okay.
No, I didn't. I had been up there. I'm the one that discovered this. Whatever. So I was like, you know, I just woke up from my nap. Actually, it woke me up. So I got like 20 minutes of one. And so I went up there and I talked to Mr. Horner. I haven't seen Mr. Horner in a while. And so I said, all right, well, look, I'm going to let you do your thing. So he went up there and he goes, yeah, he goes, there is something definitely that's going in and out. And he's like, it's squirrels, I can tell you.
Squirrels.
He's like,
well, that's good news.
He saw tunnels in the insulation.
Sure.
That they had been where they've been running. He saw what looked like a little nest. He goes, anytime something's chewed, like you saw some stuff chewed, that's definitely them. He goes, you know, potentially there might have been a rat or something at one point. He's like, I don't think there's one there. He goes, it's squirrels. So he is going to safeguard my house now this weekend from the squirrel entries. So basically there's areas in the gutters.
I could have done that for you.
So they're gone. Like, there's no traces of them still being there.
They better get out now if they're not, because they're about to get locked in.
No. No, not necessarily. What it is they are basically coming in when it gets a little bit cooler and then leaving. So what they're doing is they are preparing for winter.
That happened to my truck one time.
And
you're kicking them out on the street.
Yeah. Well, if you want, I can trap them in safe cages and bring them over to you.
This is my house.
That wouldn't be my problem. I rent. So I'm just kidding.
I mean, you can release them in the apartment complex, or condo complex.
Make sure they don't catch you on camera doing that.
I'll take them to the trail that's near me. There you go.
There you go.
Well, that's what's funny is that's what originally I thought he might do. Is like, you know, he's an outdoorsman, Mr. Horner. He goes to the Appalachian Trail, goes kayaking down rivers,
so he likes
canoeing.
To conserve, is what you're.
He's
a true outdoorsman.
Yes, he's awesome. Like, when he goes and grabs a snake from somebody's house, he told me he went over to these people's house the other day and he grabbed corn snake is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, he's like, it was in the kid's bed. He's like, going in there.
Where do you live?
No.
Well, not in, I mean,
I'm sorry,
it wasn't in Woodstock where, he did that. He's a Cobbite. He lives in Cobb County, but he travels around to do this. I mean, this is his gig.
Hang on. Pause.
I'm gonna tell you. All right. He said he got a call, and this family said, "Hey, our son, his room is in the basement. He found a snake in his bed." So
I feel better because the room's in the basement. That makes me feel better.
Yeah, well, it doesn't make me feel better because literally that's where I stay is my basement. I mean, my sleeping quarters is in my wife with my wife. But
nothing about that.
I hang out in the basement. That's where my office and my TV, my den is. He says he goes down there and he's like, he goes, this family was so scared but excited. He goes, they treated me like I was Steve Irwin. And I go, really? Go,
what? That's what I would do.
He goes, they were filming. Well, like when I came in, they recorded me with their phones. He goes, I just went down there and grabbed a snake. Put it in a little bag. Mm-mm. And he goes, I took it off to the woods, way away from there, you know, somewhere out where it wouldn't be. I think he goes areas he knows that it's not going to.
Did he say how they discovered it? How did they discover that snake?
They pulled back the sheets or something.
Yeah, honestly, I think that's what it was. He said that when he found it, the snake was on the bedpost. So anyways, he's coming out. It's going to cost me a couple of grand to safeguard the house, but he's going to basically take it where any area where they're just wiggling their way in or going through, because you know they can come through gutters,
sure.
And he's gonna fix up for me. But he's also for Tiff, because I know you were just kind of asking. They're not gonna get trapped in, but he is going to put these little devices that look like it looks like a cage when you first look at it, but it's a one way door.
Yeah, like a crab trap.
Yeah,
you should be like the guy that had a oh my gosh, was it a groundhog? It's years ago. It's been viral like 8,000 times. Like it recirculates every I don't know, couple of years, every few months. And it kept eating out of his garden. So he's like, what is stealing all this food? Let me set up a hidden camera. And then one day the groundhog pops up right in front of the camera eating like a giant tomato. So then he felt bad. You know what? I'm not going to try to kill these things off. What I'm going to do is heavily, like really protect my garden. But I'm going to make a mini groundhog garden, and little picnic tables and everything. So, like, he would keep track of them. The family would show up. Eventually, you know, they would die and stuff, but more would come.
Well, so you know,
it's kind of cool.
The only way that the squirrels can figure out how to live in my attic from moving forward is if they know how to prop the door open as one leaves and the rest go come in. But I don't think they'll figure that out. But he was like, hey, we can do it one or two ways. We can put traps up, and you might have to keep putting traps up. And I said, look, I'm not into killing squirrels or trapping them. I was like, I just want them to live a good life in someone else's house.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. I'm going to actually redo that and say this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Dylan, give me the thumbs up there. You know what? Squirrel sounds like a heck of a mascot name. Which is my segue into the college football rankings. How about that? I'm on fire.
Are the squirrels on top? The Oregon squirrels?
Sadly, they are not. But if you had ducks in your apartment, you would be winning right now because they are number one. Ohio State at 2, Texas 3, Penn State 4, Indiana 5, BYU 6, Tennessee 7, Notre Dame 8, Miami at 9, Alabama at 10, Ole Miss at 11, and your dogs sitting at 12 after getting knocked off by Ole Miss over the weekend. A lot of shuffling around.
Yeah, and there'll be a lot of conversation probably throughout the next couple of days until more things pan out about 10 through 11. I think that's – I mean, I'm not – look, I don't have a lot of confidence in Alabama. I'm a Bama guy. They've played so up and down this year. But I think Georgia's played the same way. I think Ole Miss has played the same way. So – I think that each of these programs probably have holes in their resume that you wish you didn't have, and there will be a lot of conversation about their schedule, how hard, how you know, how easy, whatever else it is. The bottom line is, if you're Georgia, you got to go deal with business against Tennessee this weekend. If you're Ole Miss, you got a couple of games left too on the schedule, and Bama will be headed to Oklahoma next weekend. So there's just a lot left to be played out in terms of that, but I think it is kind of a good talking point, good jumping off point to talk about where those guys are now. Because I know there's been a lot of back and forth in terms of where some of these SEC teams land.
Yeah, I know that I saw some Georgia people that follow the team, and as far as in the media and stuff, and do stuff around them, and they were very upset that, or not very, but they were kind of taken back that Georgia was all the way at 12. And you know, if you ask the committee, they talked about offensive consistency, they talked about turnovers, they did talk about the Georgia defense, but I'm okay with it. I don't like the fact that Miami is above Alabama, Ole Miss, or Georgia.
That was going to be my question. If you're not happy specifically with Georgia being at 12.
That's the one that probably bugs me the most. Look, look, you can go through here. Florida has the toughest schedule in college football history this year. Georgia is right there with them, to me. And I think Georgia's not Georgia's schedule is not as tough, but it's still extremely tough. And so the two losses. But the problem is when Georgia has played bad to so-so teams, they haven't looked like the Georgia of the past. And I said it in a crossover. Stop telling me how good you are with who you've lost to and how you've lost. And that's been the kind of thing that every time Georgia has lost and has either missed or been close to missing out on the playoff, that's been the argument. I think that Georgia is a good team, but they are not the team they've been in the past. They haven't been dominant really at all. The most dominant they looked was against Texas. And I don't even know what to make of that game now, because you went to Ole Miss and you just laid an egg. You can't run block. You can't pass protect. You're turning the football. You're playing un-Kirby Smart coach team-like.
Yeah, I agree. And really, I think if you're a Georgia fan and you're trying to make the argument that you should jump up to 10, I think that's kind of a hard argument to make, because 10 and 11, you lost to both of them. Now, you could say it's on the road, or you could say that all three of the teams should be higher than that. My question will be, looking at this, if Georgia does pull off a victory against Tennessee, how far up can that victory carry them after this weekend? Right? Does Georgia jump in Alabama or an Ole Miss? Because Alabama's got the Mercer Bears this weekend.
How can you jump two teams that beat you?
That's my point. You got to look at the losses though.
Couldn't you just drop Tennessee to 12 and move all of the other teams up one spot and say
you could?
That's a safeguard.
But now you're dealing with Tennessee being behind Alabama,
which
in the same
sense.
Situation.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a round robin when you look at those. That'll be the curiosity for a lot of people.
Look, a lot has gone on in the last 24 hours, from the poll to the Hawks. Braves, which star player is now on the move? We'll have that when we come back here later on in the show. But up next, what concerns you most about the Denver Broncos defense as the Falcons get ready to face them this weekend? That is next year.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Dyson in the lane. Little right-hander is no good. Rebound tipped up and in. Onyeka Okongwu just tipped it in, and the Hawks have taken the lead. Atlanta takes the lead. 117-116.
That was Steve Holman on the call of the Hawks beating the Celtics last night, 117-116, and a little bit of a nail biter there, right at the very end of that one.
Yeah, it definitely was. Came down to obviously the last couple possessions. Both teams kind of trading turnovers before Jaylen Brown gets up a shot at the buzzer, but doesn't fall, and Hawks get one of the more improbable victories that I've ever seen in an NBA game. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Quinn Snyder yesterday said basically that it was like a football team playing without their top three quarterbacks. Didn't have a ball handler. Dyson Daniels, obviously, way down in his history, has been able to pull that off. But, man, it's I just couldn't believe what I was watching, because I watched basically the fourth quarter of this game, and I was like, what am I even seeing? Hawks didn't lead throughout the game, probably since the first quarter until that tip-in, and just – crazy. 16-point underdogs and able to pull it off last night.
Snapping a two-game losing streak of their own and then being able to take out the defending two-time NBA champs. I'd say that win was pretty significant. What do you think it might do for this team going forward? And considering the fact that they didn't have the services of Trae Young in this one as well.
Yeah, he's got that Achilles tendonitis, which is apparently a thing these days. because Christian McCaffrey had it, Trae's had it, and it's not something you've heard a lot of in the past. So hopefully that's he gets past that. I just think it gives a team some confidence, especially, You don't know how long they're going to be without Trey. I mean, I'm not sure how long he's going to be, you know, this is going to keep him out. But
I don't think they play again until Friday.
Yeah, it just gives you a little bit of confidence, right? I mean, and that's kind of what is important, getting some confidence. And you got to, I think you play, is it Washington they play next? And I think it's a NBA Cup game as well. Yeah. So
don't hate. We're going for the trophy.
Do you have a problem with that?
Yeah, we're going for the trophy. If they'd have lost, they'd be like, man, who cares about the NBA Cup? But now they want, like, yeah, we're going for the trophy. No big deal.
I don't know. I got thoughts on. I don't necessarily understand it. I know it's a round robin thing, and then you play in games in like a semi or something, and then in a finals. I don't know. It's weird.
It's more ways to win stuff.
It feels.
Let me pause you.
But
because
it doesn't even get you in the playoffs if you win it.
Let me pause you though, because I do feel like Boston had some guys that were dinged up. And I saw a couple people on the socials yesterday saying they don't know if, and I can't remember who it was. I think it was Tatum, maybe, and maybe Derek White. That they were like, I don't know if Boston plays these guys if it's not an NBA Cup game. So I think there's a positive side to that. I think there is. I truly believe that.
If I'm Boston, I'm not overly caring if I – this is going to sound extremely silly, but in today's NBA, maybe it's not as silly as it's going to sound as I say it. If you were to advance all the way to the end, now you're having to play an extra game in the regular season if you win the NBA Cup. And I know it's just one game, but this is a league where load management has become such an issue that the league has talked about how to handle it, right? So I don't know if you're a team that just went in a long playoff run, is expected to go in another. Do you really want guys playing extra games if you don't have to?
Yeah.
Would be my question. Again, it's one game. I get it, but it's just something that pops in your head. So if you can give them a night off, you can. But they're nine and three. I think they want to probably get as far out as they can and then coast the rest of the year. Maybe.
Yeah, I think they definitely do. And you got to give love, first of all, to Jalen Johnson, the triple-double. I saw Trey Young's tweet last night. He called him Jalen Trip-Dub Johnson, said this is about to be a regular for him. Dyson Daniels, obviously, like I said, handling the ball a lot last night, and that's not something he's – you didn't know he was comfortable doing it until last night, although he did have five turnovers, but played a nice night. And Onyeka, probably Onyeka's best game, at least since the opener. And I thought it was awesome to watch, man. Just a lot of guys digging deep and playing roles that they're not used to and being able to get it done. We just did not – listen, you didn't think that Keaton Mitchell and Garrison Matthews and Larry Nance would be playing such meaningful minutes in a game this early in the season. But here's where we find ourselves, man. So, look, shout out to them for being able to do it and pull it off.
Kind of shows a little bit of depth there. So that's never a bad thing to see. When it comes to the Falcons, they're taking on the Denver Broncos this weekend. And there are some things to be concerned about, at least when I'm looking at it with Bo Nix, grandma, friend of the show. No, not really. She's never called in. But
well, we should have her own. Can we get her own?
No way. I'm not going to do that.
Why not? I mean, you should be a great guest.
But anyway, when you look at that team, things are coming together for him this season with, I know, your favorite, Sean Payton.
Ugh.
They almost knocked off the Chiefs. If it wasn't for that blocked field goal at the end of that, they likely could have had a win over the defending Super Bowl.
Yeah, it would have been their first loss, too, Tiff.
Yeah, and it would have been the Chiefs' first loss of the season. So you got a young quarterback that has really bought in, and I just think is perfect for the system. In Denver.
Well, I think you're right about him being perfect for what Sean Payton wants to do in that system. But I think this is one of the better scenarios as a rookie quarterback you can walk into with the defense as good as it is. And that's Vance Joseph's defense. Obviously, Sean Payton is the head coach, and he's doing wonders with Bo Nix. But this is a top 10 defense in almost every major category. That's the thing that scares me. Points allowed. They're fourth. You've got, you know, their rushing defense is top 10. Their passing defense is top 10. Their total defense is fifth in the league. They're one of the, it's funny because some of the areas that we're really good at, Mike, they're really good at. But the two that really stand out to me is the fact that they're second in the league in sacks and the fact that they are the fourth best red area defense in the NFL. Those are areas, the red area is somewhere where I feel like we have struggled too much for a top tier offense, which I think we can be, and we have been at times. That's one that really worries me.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And they've got a number of good pieces, and you know, Jonathan Cooper on defense. It'll be rushing the edge. He's had 6.5 sacks this year, so that's something to kind of keep our eyes on. They've got good players, man, and they play hard. And here's what I'll say. Look, I think it's very clear on the show that neither one of us, you and me, are fans of what Sean Payton is. But it's clear to me that he also has a way inside of those locker rooms to get his players to love him and to get them to play hard. And in the NFL, that is half the battle a lot of times. How many times in the last couple of weeks have we talked about players' comments about coaches and about the coaching staff? And you see coordinators being fired. You see head coaches being fired. You see all this other stuff going on. And yet, Sean Payton seems to get guys to play hard no matter what. And they usually end up loving
it. You just saw it with New Orleans.
Right, yeah. You saw it last week with New Orleans. I thought you were mentioning the fact that Denver played New Orleans 2 weeks ago.
No, sorry. Yeah. The point you were making about seeing teams. Yes.
Yeah, and look, I think that's something to focus on. I think it's going to be a battle. Look, to me, Denver is very similar in a lot of ways just in terms of how their season's been up and down to what the Falcons are. You lose some games you probably shouldn't. You win some games that you know maybe shouldn't be in. And you have a lot of ups and downs in terms of the quarterback efficiency. I think you started the season 0-2 in Denver, and Bo Nix didn't throw a touchdown pass. Then all of a sudden, you're matching up with good teams, and you're really turning a corner. So it's going to be a gritty game. There's no doubt about it. And, we'll see if, like you said, good versus good. If the Falcons can go out and run the ball against one of the top 10 run defenses in the NFL, then that's going to be a huge plus.
Well, they're going to have to. They're absolutely going to have to. I go back and look at what this team did to Tampa early. And we thought, oh, well, maybe Tampa's not that good. Well, Tampa is really good on offense. Whatever their record is, Tampa's a top 5-10 offense in the league right now. Go back and look at it. And they went into Tampa and absolutely dominated Tampa up front. I think they sacked Baker Mayfield 6 or 7 times. And that's one of the things that you look at this defense. They're good in the back. They're good at every level.
I just hear that number and I almost get emotional, because what does that feel like, man?
What
does that feel like to be able to rip off that many sacks and get in a guy's face?
What are you talking about? We've got 9.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to talk about getting emotional? I wanted to make sure that I had the sack number right for Denver, because it's one of the few things I don't have on my grid. And I went and pulled it up, and it pulled up. I went to click on NFL total, the site that I use, but it went to NFC, and
you had the wrong team.
No. It's just like there's all these double digits, and then there's a single digit number, and it's ours. And my heart sank a little bit.
Yeah,
because I think I am getting to the point where, and I refuse to let our show be a show that only talks about sacks, because I think it just. I can hear this all day long. Like you hear the same thing, and it just gets so tiring hearing. Is there anything else this team can do or can't do? Yes, there is. But when you see it, it just hurt my heart a little bit.
It just has become. And I'm with you, man. I think there's so many good things to focus on what the Falcons do, and you know the ways that they can win games. And it just, it honestly is pretty incredible if you really start to put everything together. The fact that you have the record you do with the sack number you have. Like you're not, you didn't just fall into last place or, in the sack category or get somebody injured or whatever. Like that's just who you are as a defensive front. That's who you are as a defense, just not able to get home. Like we talked about yesterday, Grady's leading the team with 2.5. And it's almost a credit to everybody else, right? And really, Raheem Morrison, the way this team goes about its business, that they've been, that they're in the driver's seat in the division. It's crazy. And you just wonder what this team can be if they could find some kind of rush and find a way to start getting home. And I don't know if that's Judon getting his legs underneath them or finding, good matchups for Arnold Ebukadi, or maybe, I don't know, maybe D'Angelo Malone jumps out and starts doing some things. But if you can do that, I think this team really starts to round into a form, and I think it needs to start this week against Denver.
Look, a lot can change in a year. It did for Denver, right? Their defense, when it came to allowing points per game, they were 27th last season. They are 4th. This year. So, hey, a lot can happen. Stay optimistic about the rest of the season. When we come back here, let's dive into the college football rankings and the latest with the Braves next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Well, Braves news coming last night, and there's been a lot of it lately, at least with last week with Braves, they declined catcher Travis d'Arnaud's team option. And yesterday, the Los Angeles Angels. I wanted to say Lakers there. They signed Arnaud to a 2-year, $12 million contract. So, and of course, this comes on the heels of making a couple of other moves there. But how do you feel about this?
Well, I hate to see him go. This guy was a huge part of the World Series run and the postseason runs they've made the last few years and great season. I mean, this guy caught every pitch down the stretch in that World Series run that this team had. Chadwick Trump seems to be like the guy you might think would be the next guy up, but he's out of options. I think Drake Baldwin, who had a phenomenal season last year in a few different with Gwinnett and Mississippi, he's probably going to – we're probably going
to
see him at some point.
You have to.
I mean, maybe as early as May.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, Chadwick, just simply put, has been too bad offensively to think that he can plug a hole that, you know, Lil D's leaving. So it's – I don't know. They got to do something. I will give credit because we talked about this the other day, and I don't know if we had a caller or somebody tweet at us that was like, you know, do you think the Braves could bring him back on a 2-year, $12 million deal? And I was like, yeah, I'm sure that he can probably get that, but I don't know that the Braves will get that depending on the pitching situation, and I think that's the other piece of the news.
Yeah, Charlie Morton is going to pitch next year. Obviously, the Braves are probably one of the three or four teams that live in a club that he's – that live in close capacity to, I think, in spring ball where he wants to be around. Is the Orioles are one of those teams in there as well. Mm. I think the Padres might be. I think it may be the Padres are in there. And also, the other day, they traded – I say the other day, it was like Monday, they traded for Nick Allen as a utility infielder. He's in
– good player.
He's in Oakland. He was in Oakland. Now, he's good, but some of his stats aren't great, so that could be a move that we see on this roster, a guy that could we see on this roster next year. So they've been willing and dealing, not major moves, Tiff, but some minor moves here and there.
And then in good news for this team, your boy Chris Sale, he was named an NL Cy Young finalist along with Paul Skenes and Zach Wheeler. So
if he doesn't win, I'm riding. Yeah, I'm right. I'm just going to put it that way.
Flipping tables?
Yeah, well, it's ridiculous.
The only thing that bothered me is the three finalists. Paul Skenes was one of them. And if you kind of look, and I think Paul Skenes was phenomenal. Phenomenal, right? Flamethrower. Did he really have a better year than our other rookie? Swellenbach.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, I could not.
I wasn't sure where
there's
you're
an
going
S in there somewhere.
Mr.
Swellenbach.
Going.
Thank
I
you, Tiffany. So it's in Swellenbach, yeah. And so I think when you look at all the numbers, and I don't think he did other than he threw really hard. So if Chris Sale doesn't win it, yes, Mike Johnson and I will be riding at the MLB Major League offices in New York.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we're coming.
All right, let's get a check on college football. Hey, later on in the show, we do have CBS Sports Jerry Palm joining us. He's a college football writer, so we're excited to have him in our 8 o'clock hour. We can ask him all the questions that we're wondering about these college football playoff rankings now, with Oregon at 1, Ohio State 2, Texas 3, Penn State 4, Indiana 5, BYU 6, Tennessee at 7, 8 Notre Dame, 9 Miami, 10 Ole Miss, 10 Alabama, 11 Ole Miss, and 12 is where Georgia is sitting after losing to the Rebels over the weekend.
I have some questions, and I think it's fine because I think the committee's always done this, right? They've always put out these polls and brackets and whatever else that will kind of play itself out. They've always done this. And I think they went a step too far.
A step too far in
terms of trying to set themselves up for later in the year. Because if they're not, if that's not what they're doing, or simply maybe just overcorrecting from last week, then how does Indiana and BYU jump Tennessee? How does Indiana and BYU jump Tennessee after last week being behind Tennessee? Now, obviously, there's a couple of losses. Tennessee stays stagnant at 7, but you get Indiana, who barely slips past a, 5-5 Michigan, and BYU, who probably should have lost to Utah, that are jumping Tennessee. It's either an overcorrection or they are setting themselves up to simply say, hey, Tennessee, if you want to jump up and go win this weekend down in Athens.
Yeah.
I was trying to pull up the BYU schedule.
Well,
they're undefeated. So does that – sorry to jump in here, but does
well,
that
yeah, factor? But they were undefeated last week. So then they were behind Tennessee last week. So I don't know what they did in this 1 week, you know, set against Utah. And again, the same thing for Indiana. They're undefeated. What did they do to make them jump Tennessee in
well,
the past week?
I think part of it is they're trying to set themselves up for what this may or may not look like. Because here's the thing you also got to look at. So Oregon would be one if it ended today, right? If everything ended today, Oregon would be one. BYU would probably be two because they're an undefeated power four.
You could definitely
champion.
Make that argument, yeah.
Miami would be in the mix in there. You got
to
look at who's the conference that I'm leaving out?
The SEC.
So then you would have Texas would be in there. So that would be your top four. What people are not talking about is if the college football playoff started tomorrow, Georgia would not be in because Boise would be the non-power nice. Five conference champion. That's the highest rated, and they would be in. And I'm talking with my hands with a pen in my hand, yeah, like I'm Jesse Palmer.
Yeah,
right,
you
now.
Got a little hibachi
but,
thing going on.
But that's what's going to happen, Mike. So I think you're right. I think they're showing you what. They wanted to make it look as real as they could with the fact that this is how it might play out.
Yeah. No, I think that's what they do. And they've set themselves up. But I think the biggest question is, and I'm not saying that I think this will happen, the biggest question is going to be simply, how do you rank the four SEC teams in the back end if Tennessee were to lose to Georgia this week? Because you can't simply say Tennessee's better than Georgia, but all these teams have beaten each other, aside from Alabama and Ole Miss, who have not played.
Well,
I don't know where you rank any of them.
Well, with Tennessee just losing, and depending, and I know that Alabama's only playing Mercer, right?
Yes, the Mercer Bears.
Not sure how that ended up on their schedule.
They're 9-1. Don't disrespect Mercer.
I'm not sure how Mercer ended up on Alabama's schedule when Florida is playing LSU. Is it LSU this weekend? I think. Yeah, but cool.
Yeah, how'd that work out?
Good for them. Not sure how you get Mercer
y'all.
When one team plays Georgia,
good
Texas, LSU, and then Ole Miss. But I'm not sure
Florida would beat Mercer right now.
Well, I mean, not with it. I'm not gonna do that to that poor kid. He's a walk-on. He's not. To our discussion yesterday, I'm not positive Aiden Warner is making NIL money, so he gets a pass. All right,
yeah. The Yale transfer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's getting a good education.
Poor kid. But I would, if to your point, I would probably move Tennessee. I would have to put Tennessee below Alabama simply for the fact of what they've done for me lately. And Alabama has a good win on the road, and Tennessee has a good loss on the road, but the wins are going to trumpet it. That's what I would do. Because I think Alabama is going to make it in probably by strength of schedule over Tennessee.
I don't know, man. I don't know how you can say that, and Georgia got a win on the road against Texas, who's beaten everybody else they've had. I don't like it's just there's and here's the thing I'm because not coming at you there's no good answer
well,
that's my
it's
point
about, it's about game control consistency that's what they
the Tennessee Alabama game make your eyes
they,
bleed
they
go
told
back and watch it.
Yeah oh I know but they specifically told you last night that Georgia is at 12 right now because of A, they just lost, and B, they have been very inconsistent overall, and Georgia hasn't really trounced teams either.
No, not even close.
You use the word consistent. That also describes the Denver Broncos defense. That is a big concern for the Falcons as they get set to match up against Denver this weekend. We'll discuss when we come back here on the other side of the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.